Hare Krishna. Once again, we're very great fortune to hear His Holiness Jayadev Swami Maharaj in Sridham Mayapur addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees on 21st of November 2013, and it's a day four. And Maharaj will be addressing on chapter number 2nd of Bhagavad Gita. It's a unit 1. Hare Krishna.
Off there because we're in tricky weather. Those of you, some of you might have noticed that it's hot today, but there's this chill in the air, which is the tricky way that of inflicting a cold on unsuspecting victims. So you need to be a little careful this season, or you can turn the fan on and send the chill in and wind up with one of those upper respiratory infections. Now, knowing that, if you still want to turn the fan on, if that works for you, go ahead. I'm just giving you a warning so that you act with knowledge. Okay. Am I reading today? Any volunteers? Sanjayo Vacha Tam Tata Shataya Vishtam Ashrupurna Kulekshanam Vishidam Tam Vidam Vakyam Uvacha Madhusudanaha Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutatva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samupastitam Anarya Yashtam Asvaryam Akirti Padamarjuna Vaibhyam Asmarama Partha Naitat Paipapasyate Shudram Hriya Narvalyam Chakot Ishta Parantapa Arjuna Vacha Atam Bhishma Maham Samke Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishu Hi Vati Yotyami Pujana Madhusudana Guru Nahatvahi Mahanam Bhavan Shreyo Bhoktum Vaiksham Mahiya Loke Advarsha Kamam Guru Nihaiva Mundiya Bhogam Rudhira Pratikham Chaitan Vidma Kataram No Guriyo Yadavaje Ma Yadivano Jayayu Yane Mahatvana Jadi Vishamas Devastita Pramukhe Naharta Rastra Aramanya Dosho Bhata Shatava Prishchami Kvam Dharma Samudhya Veta Yashtreya Nishitam Bhuri Tanme Shishyate Vashadi Maam Kvam Prapanam Nahi Prapashyami Maam Manudya Yashokam Shoshanam Indriyanam Avakya Roma Vasapan Amritham Kajyam Shuranam Vipitani Padyam Sanjayo Vacha Eva Mukva Rishi Kesham Gura Kesha Narantapaha Nayodhya iti govindam uktva tushmin abhubaha Tamu vacha rishikesha prahastan diva bharata Tenayor lukhayor vandye tushiran tam vinam vacha Shri Bhagavan vacha asochanan vashochastvam Pragyavanam shabhashate Kathasu na kathasumcha Nārūśo chanti vandhita Nā seva hamkrātu nāsam Nā tvam neve janādhipā Nā chāyva nāva
tasya karya pratishthita jnayato vishayam pumsa sangate shupadayate sangata sarayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat vidhidhikramaha sriti bhamshat bhujinasho bhujinashat pranashati Rāgatesha vimuktaistu viṣayāni viyaiścaraṁ ātma vaśyāgate ātma prasādam anigaśyati prasāne sarva-dukhānam anigaśyo-prajāyate prasāna-śrema-sau-yāśu bhūjīr-vāyā-tiṣṭhati bhūjīr-yuktasya nāyuktasya-bhāvanā Nasa bhavayata shantir ashantasya kutasukam indriyanam hicharatam yanmahod vidhiyate kalasya harati pragyam ayurnavam vivampati tasmadyasya mahabaho nirgrihitani sarvashah indriyan indriyartevyas tasya pragyam pratishtita Yadisha sarva-bhutanam tasyam pragati samyami yasyam pragati bhutani sadisha pasyato munehe apuryamanam machalam pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat yadvat kamayam pravishanti tarve sashandyamapnoti nakarmakami vihaya kamanya sarvan Kumāt-śrati niṣṭhā, nirmahodhya-hankārā, sānti-mādhi-gāśyati. Esa brahmi-siddhi-vārta, nāyam-kāpya-vibhūyati, siddhātyā-mantakā-devī, brahma-nirvāna-mṛṣyati.
Thank you very much. Yes. Why do I read the Sanskrit rather than the English? Several reasons. I find the Sanskrit easier to remember. The Prabhupada himself chanted the Sanskrit. And the Sanskrit sound itself is purifying. It takes less time. You can read it faster. And I actually don't generally memorize the English. I find that memorizing the English is hard because the sentences that these are verses, they all fit together. If you're missing a word, you'll feel it. And the Sanskrit unlocks the whole verse. So if you have, dhīra-stacchana-mūyati, just for example. So that's translated as the self-realized person or the sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So, okay, that makes sense, and you can speak to that. But if you know that the word is dhīra, then you have a whole frame of reference there. You can think of other places where the word dhīra is used. You can have other contexts. You can get into the derivation of the word dhīra. You can remember times the Prabhupada has explained the word. So I find that the Sanskrit itself is what I tend to remember. And from the Sanskrit, I can construct the verse. I can remember that Prabhupada said, how he translated it, either exactly if I'm one of those memorizing people, or if it's a verse that's particularly, not catchy, but memorable in English. Or else I can construct the meaning, I can reconstruct the meaning of the verse, paraphrase what Prabhupada said. And I find that works better for me in terms of having it down, in terms of what you might call owning the verses or having them in my head. Does that make sense? Yeah. This is a practice that actually Prabhupada told us this at one point. He said you can chant one chapter every, I think he even told us you should chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. This is a particularly long chapter. It took us, what, 8 minutes? Thereabouts, 10 minutes, max? How long did it take us to chant this chapter? Everyone lost their sense of time. We've entered that timeless realm. It takes a little longer. Maybe it took us 10 minutes, 12 minutes. It certainly didn't take us 15 minutes. Most chapters will take you, well, 5 or 10 minutes. Say 10 minutes to chant. Who here doesn't have 10 minutes in their day? So if you invest 10 minutes a day in chanting one chapter a day, you'll have, in 18 days, you cover the whole chapter. So basically, in a month, you've read it almost twice. And after, you know, years of doing that, you'll have these verses rattling around in your head. Which is much better to have rattling around in your head than, top 40, whatever year it was that you, before you came to Krishna consciousness. You know, popular tunes and this and that. So you can chant one chapter a day, and then the verses start to stick in your mind. They're catchy, aren't they? In Sanskrit, they're constructed in interesting ways. And what if you know the if you know the English, you may not know what the Sanskrit is. But if you know the Sanskrit, you can definitely go back to the English, provided, of course, that you've looked at the Sanskrit more than just reciting the words, but you go back and you look at these verses also. And then you can explain them in classes. If you follow Prabhupada's classes, generally you find that Srila Prabhupada goes from word to word. So if he's explaining Bhagavatam verse, he'll explain one word, he'll explain another word, he'll explain a third word. Or sometimes one word will lead to, you know, in a certain direction, and maybe the whole class will go in that direction. But his general way of explaining the philosophy, really, is to open up a Sanskrit verse and unpack it, as they say, explore the different words and what they mean and the various shades of meaning or angles of vision on meaning. So you listen to Prabhupada's classes and you find a lot of that. And in your own classes, if you do that, you can easily go through half an hour, just doing nothing else but explaining this word, that word, this word, that word, because each word has so much meaning. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained one verse, Admaranas Chamuniyo. There's what? 64 different meanings? Was it 64? 64 different meanings? This word means this, and this word means, has this seven, these seven meanings, and this word can mean this or this or this or this. And when you put the words together, they can mean this or this. So that's a sort of tour de force that may not be within our capability. But just to take the words and explain them one by one provides the basis for a complete class, a complete lecture, and without having to, you know, rely on what you read in Time magazine or, you know, stories of sort of semi-relevant stuff. You get into real substance just by explaining the words one after another. So I find it personally helpful, and the vibration itself is purifying. Prabhupada told us that. We may or may not understand it, but the vibration itself will purify it. And then, of course, after chanting, now we're going to get into the actual meaning of things. This is how I look at the... And look at what Prabhupada did. He gave us this. He could have just given the an English translation, or English translation with commentary, but he put in these Sanskrit verses, the word for word meanings. It's not just for the scholars, although it's for them certainly, but it's for us. So if you want to study, then some people study by they just read the verses, or just read the English rather. But if you really want to study, study from the verse itself, the Sanskrit verse, then go to the word for word meaning, then go to the translation, then go to the purport, and you've really got the full presentation, which is why it's so unfortunate when people publish editions of Bhagavad Gita that leave out the word for word meaning in the word, and I don't understand what they're doing, we'll say more about it, but Prabhupada wanted us to include in all of his books everything he gave us, which means the word for word meanings are also very important. And he says that in the opening to the Bhagavad Gita, in the preface, that the preface. In all my other books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Isha Upanishad, etc., the system is that I give the original verse, its English transliteration, word for word, Sanskrit English equivalents, translations, and purports. This makes the book very authentic and scholarly, and makes the meaning self-evident. So that's Prabhupada's method of presentation. That's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita with all these features. So when we chant these chapters, we're taking advantage of this one feature of Bhagavad Gita as it is that Prabhupada has given us, the transliterations. There was one girl, what is her name? One of the original devotees who came to Kaushalya Dasi. And she tells the story. There's a beautiful series of videos, two beautiful series of videos, one done by Yadavara Prabhu with memories of Srila Prabhupada accompanied by footage of Srila Prabhupada accompanied by memories, I guess that's what it is. And another set done by Siddhanta Prabhu with interviews of Srila Prabhupada's disciples telling different experiences they had. So on one, I think it's, maybe, I forget whether it's Siddhanta or Yadavara's, Kaushalya tells this story that they were at a Pandal festival here in India in the early days, and Prabhupada asked if someone could recite Bhagavad Gita, asked the devotees, and Kaushalya recited a whole chapter of Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit. The audience, of course, was very impressed. This American girl is chanting the slokas, Bhagavad Gita. Chanted the whole chapter. Prabhupada was so pleased. He was rubbing her head. So it's pleasing to the Prabhupada, pleasing to Krishna, for us to learn these verses. And people also, Prabhupada said this, that people will be very impressed if you speak somewhere, you're invited to speak, and if you can quote the Sanskrit, people go, oh. Anyone can rattle off some English, any English speaker, but if you can speak from the quoting the original verses, Prabhupada, as he says, it makes it very scholarly and authentic. So then it's impressive also. I mean, our job is not just to impress people and give them the wow factor, but it's genuinely impressive and spiritually impressive. That is, the sound vibration makes a transcendental impression on the mind. So Prabhupada himself spoke from the Sanskrit verses, and he wanted us to be able to do that also, as far as possible. Learn these verses and be able to explain them. The verses, songs, you can do the same thing, Prabhupada. Explain, this is a system actually, that you sing one of these bhajans, Manusha Janama Paya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Daya Karamoy, one of these authorized songs from Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur, and then you explain. Then you explain. And then you sing another bhajan, and then you explain. Or sometimes the system will be they'll sing a verse, two verses, and stop, and explain. And then next verse, I've attended, I remember just particularly attending some programs in Orisha with my godbrother Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And that was his style also of speaking, that he would speak for some time very strongly. I would speak in Odia, but I couldn't understand. But, he'd letting the audience have it. And at some point he would quote a verse. And he had his mridanga team there, his kirtan team, and they would strike up the band, as they say. You know, they would play along with him. And he had a particular tune. Anyway, he had a particular tune.
So he gives a purport to the verses of the song.
Exactly. Sri Chay Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karamore O Samar Patita Ho. And if it, then he, they would stop, then ta da 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 da. Explain things. Then again, another verse. And then again explain. And it keeps the audience focused. You know, there's that combination of the verses and the explanation, and it brings people, provides an automatic structure for your talk. You're not just rambling around. There's a structure, a beginning, a middle, an end. You're unpacking the ideas and the purport. And you can make a whole evening of that. You hear when Prabhupada also, he's singing these songs, and he sings, but then he explains. There's sometimes he just sings, but so often, this is a song by such and such. And then he gives the purport, pretty much taking it apart line by line. So Narottam Das Thakur says, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and explains. So this provides a way for you to speak in a very authentic fashion, sticking close to the original text and delivering substance. You're not just sort of looking in your mind for something you can say and, well, I don't know what to say. You're just following along and the verse tells you what to say. It's all there. Okay. Anything else about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the lawyer, he doesn't just say, well, Your Honor, I think, but he's, in Johnson versus Sullivan, da 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 da. Quote, or I gave the example the other day, the Christians also quote chapter and verse. So if you can quote the original text, then you have real substance there. And Prabhupada himself explains the words, so if you're asked to explain it, you read Prabhupada's purport and you'll see he's explaining the different words. Sometimes explicitly he says, this means this, this means that, and sometimes you'll see as you read it that he doesn't mention the particular word, but you can see that he's glossing, as they say, covering that word. And as you follow along the purport, you see, yeah, that word, that word, that word. Even when he doesn't mention them explicitly, you can see he's explaining what this word means, what this word means, what this word means. Anything else here? Okay. Om Jnana Samiran Hasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhati Shapadatikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Shadrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Kham Sathima Sadvaitam Shavatutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostha Sapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshako Patarubhyascha Upasindho Bhevacha Patita Nam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Following up on that further, those who are kirtaniyas, you can preach in this way. It's not that you just go and sing some beautiful songs and show how what you can do with your voice and how many beats per beats and bowls you can fit into a measure, how much fancy stuff you can do with the mridanga. But you chant nicely and then explain. Chant and explain. It's an easy way to bring an audience in. They've come, they're hearing some music, they're hearing a song, and someone's explaining the song to them. You know, you're not trying to do anything to them, you're just explaining the song. But the song, you're not preaching to them, you're just explaining the song. So what's the song say? Wake up, sleeping soul, how long will you sleep on the lap of the witch Maya? You spend your days decorating your bodies and you're night sleeping. When will you wake up and worship? So I'm not saying anything to you, I'm just explaining the song. So in this way it's very effective.
It's also nice because if you sing a song and then explain it, you can preach with two devotees. One devotee can sing, the other can preach.
That also you can do. Someone speaks, you have three devotees, one speaks, one sings, and the third one takes collection. Sells book. Thank you for that question. So Arjuna has surrendered to Lord Sri Krishna, accepting him as the only person who can solve the perplexities that have afflicted Arjuna. And he's accepted the position of disciple, and the Lord Prahasaniva. What's Prahasaniva mean? Kind of smiling. Kind of smiling. Why is he kind of smiling?
Because Arjuna is going to accept his instruction.
Yeah, Prabhupada says that. He's happy that a friend has become a disciple. What other reasons?
He didn't want to hand that
didn't want to embarrass Arjuna by laughing out loud at him. And what other reason?
Krishna represents
that father, our parent. Yeah. He's like a little child yet.
Well, Krishna, having directed this entire sentence for our community in this position, is what he used, how this is unfolding.
Yeah, did Acharya say that? Having put Arjuna in this position, Krishna is now a little amused at how it's unfolding.
That's Bhakti
Sharma. Bhakti Sharma said that. Okay, that's nice insight. And following up on it being like a child, the child is having a nightmare. But the father is awake. He sees there's no ghost, there's no tiger. Okay. So the Lord begins by indirectly calling Arjuna a fool and telling him that he's lamenting for something not worthy of lamentation. Pragyavaram Kripashase, you're speaking learned words, but Nanusho Chandi Pandita. A pundit, a learned person, would never be crying and lamenting like you. That means you're a nonsense. Now the Lord begins this very important section of Bhagavad Gita, explaining the difference between the soul and the body, explaining the eternal identity of the living being. This is our, what would you say, bread and butter preaching, our crucial foundational set of understanding. Prabhupada summarized it in five words that he used again and again. English words?
The Supreme Personality
of Godhead. No. We are not this body. I'm not this body. You are not this that body. Foundational understanding that I'm not this body. So now the Lord will explain that. Natve vaham jatu nasam, natvam neme janadita, natchaiva na bhavishyamaha, sarveva yamata param. There was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future will any of us cease to exist. So that's quite a different platform from the platform on which Arjuna is lamenting. It immediately raises things to another level. And the Prabhupada takes great pains to establish here that the Lord is speaking of spiritual plurality. There was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Indicates that we were all individuals in the past, we're all individuals now, and there'll never be a time in the future when we'll cease to be individuals. And Prabhupada quotes from the Upanishads, Katha Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. There's one supreme eternal amongst the many plural eternals, one supreme conscious living being amongst all the innumerable conscious living beings. So that means plurality. The Mayavadi argues that this plurality is material, but Prabhupada gives evidence from the Upanishad, no, it's not material, it's spiritual. There's a nitya and there's a nityanam. Singular number and plural number, nityas. Nityatva is on the spiritual platform, not the material platform. So someplace else Prabhupada argues, I don't think it's here, Maybe it is. Let's take a look. That they'll say, well, this is conventional. The Lord is speaking from the material platform. But why should the Lord speak from the material platform? He's just called Arjuna a fool for speaking on that platform. Yeah, the statement of Krishna is the Mayavadi argued, they argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material. Even accepting that, how can you distinguish Krishna's individuality? He's not material. He confirms his individuality. Then, sometimes they argue that this, the Mayavadis argue, well, this duality that Krishna is speaking of, duality, that's a bad word in the Mayavadi language. We want oneness, not duality. It's like having, what's that eye disease where you see double? Cataracts? Prabhupada, I think he even said cataracts, but I don't think cataracts is where you see double, but there's some sort of disease of the eyes by which you see double. So the Mayavadi says, well, this is like that, you know, that really there's just oneness, but because our vision is defective, we're seeing double, we're seeing duality. Then Prabhupada said, but Krishna's not seeing, he doesn't have a disease. If Krishna's vision is diseased, then what's the use of Bhagavad Gita? Right? If Krishna's vision is defective, then how can he be the spiritual master of Arjuna, and why should we be reading this book? So Krishna's vision is clear, and he sees two. Not because his vision is making two where there's really one, but really that there's two. There's individuality. So there's eternal individuality. There's individuality, yes, affirmed here in the Bhagavad Gita. Any question about that? And Prabhupada also defeats the idea that, well, now we're individuals, but in the future we'll merge and we'll all be one. But sarve vayama tapparam, in the future also there'll never be a time when we'll cease to exist as individuals. Yes? Yeah.
How about the ghost?
Yeah, but why are you way up there when we haven't gotten there yet? You're in text 15? 13. Yeah. Okay. But I'm on text 12. You're ahead of me. Okay. Yes.
About Krishna's individuality, what Prabhupada trying to say that he his body, mind, and dependent is all one for Krishna. That's why it is not material and it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right understanding? That is that what Prabhupada is saying, that Krishna affirms his individuality. So
yeah, Krishna confirms his individuality. And let's see what Prabhupada says there. Yeah, Krishna's. Yeah, Krishna's. Even what is that? Shankara charges it. Narayana Parovyakta. That Narayana's on the transcendental platform. And Narayana Devaki Putra. This Krishna's that same Narayana. So if Narayana is transcendental, then where's the question of duality? Yeah.
When is Krishna seemingly leave versus like a person to interpret it?
Why does he which what?
In the Gita, why does Krishna seemingly leave?
Why does he leave things open to interpretation? Because you can't feel them. Can't keep a good Mayavadi down. What is this? There's you know, you're Bengali. Nothing that a goat won't eat and nothing that a fool won't say. Loud.
Nothing God eats.
Yeah, that's the verb. Bengali proverb. What is it that a goat won't eat or that a madman won't say? Very good. Goat. Pagal means a madman. So what is there that a goat won't eat or that a madman won't say? Even when it's perfectly clear, the stubborn, obstinate person will say, no, you don't understand. No. However clear, however 100% obvious it is, someone who's determined will say, no, you don't understand. It's really difficult.
And then they are saying that it's from your point of view.
They'll say that's from your point of view.
Yeah. Your condition is like that.
I feel like what?
From your point of view.
Oh, yeah, they'll say that. Sometimes they'll give this. Well, from your, I can understand that from your point of view you'd see it that way. But from this point of view, you know, every point of view is fine. You know, it's like I'm okay and you're okay. Whatever point of view is fine. I understand that, you know, because you're a Dwightist, you see it that way, but I'm an Advaitist, so I see it this way. And really we can all get along because it's just, you know, all one really. It's just different ways of... And that's word jugglery. It's not that if it's all one, then it's not two. If it's two, it's not one. It's not like if something costs $2 and I give you a dollar, you say, wait a second, that's supposed to be $2. I say, well, that's from your point of view. Really, it's all one. There's no difference between $1 and $2.
Actually, they cannot
live with no, and there's many examples of how they've been proven absurd. One that Srila Prabhupada liked was that our Giriraj Swami, back in 1960s, I think, was doing with the Kirtan party in Boston. Maybe it was Boston Commons or Harvard Square. And there was some fellow who was arguing that everything is one. Then the Giriraj Maharaj said, well, if everything is one, there's no difference between me and you. So if you give me your wallet, there's no difference between having it in your pocket and having it in my pocket. So the guy had to hand over his money because he didn't want to lose the argument.
Early here in the Gita and this text 12, Prabhupada's purport, when preaching engagements take place with uninitiated devotees who've never read the Gita, this purport for the first time says that Supreme Personality of Godhead also by his plenary expansion or proportions is in the heart of every living entity, which of course makes mass slaughter of ants in your apartment very problematic. And I have often come to this point in preaching engagement and been stopped by many in the crowd and can't hardly even go on without fully explaining how the karma that is incurred by simply living in the material world and stepping on bugs, killing things, breathing, is not part of a vast karmic process very difficult to entangle yourself from just by being alive.
Yeah. Just by living, you get entangled in so much karma. There's so many living entities and we're killing at every moment. That's a fact.
How would you explain that to someone who is shocked by the fact that the bugs are part and parcel of God?
I'd let him be shocked. It's like good for him. You know? It's good for them. It dawns on them. Oh my God. Very good. Our knowledge is revolutionary. You take a purport of Bhagavad Gita and explain it, and it's revolutionary knowledge. Things that people have not thought of, not heard, not realized, that have deep implications for their whole worldview. These books are so powerful.
Krishna and Pandava appeared in Dwapara Yuga.
Appeared in?
Dwapara Yuga.
Dwapara Yuga, uh-huh.
How can we identify them in Satya Yuga and Dwapara Yuga?
How can you identify them in Satya Yuga?
Yeah.
You're not in Satya Yuga, why do you have to identify them?
Because it says, never of their time, I do not exist.
Yeah, but we don't have to, like, I know that 100 years ago I existed. I know that 100 years ago you existed. Now, I don't have to know who you were. You don't have to know who I am. Just like now we're in this room for the last hour and 5 minutes. I know that before that you existed. I know that when you leave this room at 6:30, you'll continue to exist. Now, I may not know what room you were in, what part of the campus, what you were doing, what dress you were wearing, and I don't have to know. It's enough for me to know that now you're here, previously you were elsewhere, later you'll go someplace else. Right? I may not know where, what, but I know that you didn't just pop into existence when you walk through the door, and that when you walk out the door, that's not the end of you. Probably gives the example, a horse gallops past the window. First you don't see him, then you see him, then you don't see him. But you know that he existed before he galloped into view, and that he exists after he leaves your view. Is that okay? Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, you started by saying we are not responsible.
Yes, we're not.
But we are seeing that everyone is caring for the body to some extent or to larger extent. So how can we remove this propensity of caring for our body? And
why do you have to remove the propensity of caring for the body?
Because we are not this body, you said this.
Yeah. I'm also not this shirt. But at the end of the day, it gets washed, gets folded up. I take care of it. Try not to lose it when I fly in an airplane.
But there are many who are recognizing a soul by seeing his external body. There are many who are recognizing a soul by his external body.
That's conventional. I recognize a person by the body.
Prabhupada gave
the example that you see a car go by and you say, there goes the district magistrate.
Yes.
You didn't see the district magistrate. You just saw a black ambassador car with a red light on top.
Yes.
You didn't see the district magistrate at all. But you know that this is the car of the district magistrate, and therefore the district magistrate went by. So the body is connected with the person, at least temporarily, the way the person and the car are connected. But I don't think that the district magistrate is that ambassador car. And I also don't think that I'm this body.
So if somebody is recognizing for a temporary time or for... on a bodily platform, on a temporary basis, is it okay?
Yeah. Otherwise you can't navigate in this world.
So then what is the importance of this statement?
You know, somebody comes to him, a man comes home to embrace his wife, and the wife says, wait a second, how do I know it's you? You know, we go by the conventional way of identifying people. I know that you're that same student because you look the same and you're, you know, wearing the same glasses and so on and so on and so on. We don't see the soul. We don't see the soul, we see the body.
So how can we come to that platform?
By knowledge. Jnana Chakshusha. By knowledge. Just like you look up in the sky and you see the sun. What is it? Big yellow ball. Or a big red ball, depending on the time of day. And maybe it's like, wow, it's really big. It looks as big as a blimp. Or maybe as big as a football field. Really big. Or it's big as a tree. You know, compare it to the tree in front of you and say, wow, the sun is bigger than the tree. So that's your vision. That's what you see with your eyes. And when you see it rise, you say, there's the sun. I know, because it's big and it's yellow. It's bigger than the tree. Of course, Hanuman got confused. But anyway, it looked bigger than the tree. But when you hear from the scientists, then you understand that the sun is 93 million miles away, that it's so many kilometers in diameter. Right?
I only know you're Jai Kwesi Swami because other people have told me you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have never once in our relationship ever come up to me and say, I'm Jai Kwesi Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only by inference of other people that we know who each one of us is.
Yeah, we take it on authority.
I understand who my father is just because my mother said that's who it was.
That's knowledge. Somebody says, this is this, this is this, this is a watch, this is a blackboard, this is a table, and we take it on the start. Otherwise, how do we know?
When Nehru, the first prime minister of India. If he says that his next body will be a dog, he will be a dog. How can he say that his next body will be a dog?
We're being charitable. No, Prabhupada was, of course, usually he didn't mention anyone by name, but sometimes he would say that one may be the prime minister in one life and in the next life one may be the dog of some man in Sweden. As far as I recall, he was referring to some statement by an astrologer who had said that our beloved Prime Minister had taken that position. Now, that's not to say that Prabhupada took it as a proven fact, but certainly plausible. One may be Prime Minister in this life and a dog in the next life. Confirmed!
Is Prabhupada above the four defects?
Tendency to make mistakes, to fall into illusion, to have imperfect senses, and to cheat. Is Prabhupada above those four defects? Who wants to speak to this?
Yes.
Give your reason.
On a material platform, we don't judge the pure devotee. Because spiritually, he wouldn't make any mistakes if he repeats exactly what Krishna said. And I suppose that's all I have to say.
I can't question what you said.
Go ahead.
You see that Prabhupada didn't.
Let's see what's going on. Someone want to speak to that?
I didn't understand that point. Like, what is the why the Prabhupada changed?
So, for example, let's say a man didn't allow to have more than one wife, and then later on feels direction with the public, who that is not necessarily good strategy and changes it. So is it
in that sense, if the audience are not able to understand, it's not the mistake of Prabhupada. If the audience, if they can't take the message, so Prabhupada changed the strategy to suit the audience, which means he's more intelligent than the said. It's not a defect on his side. He changed the strategy to suit you, it's not his defect, it's yours. You can't understand what he's saying.
And then what about, let's say, for example,
Prabhupada, I asked this question to Prabhupada here in Mayapur. We were on a morning walk. The history was that it was during the Mayapur festival. I was a brahmachari at that time. And for the morning walks, all the big shots used to come, the sannyasis, GDC men, and some little punks like me. And at one time, so anyway, I asked Prabhupada a question. I said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we see that the spiritual master makes mistakes. Let's see. Let's see if I find that. Can't find it in the database right away. It's there. Anyways, okay, so I'll just tell you from memory. Prabhupada said that sometimes we see from the material point of view that the spiritual master makes mistakes. Prabhupada said, that is material point of view. I said, well, sometimes we see that even in spiritual things, the spiritual master may quote a verse wrong or something like that, which was pushing things a little bit because we've all heard Prabhupada quote a verse one way when it's really a little bit different. So I said sometimes we see he quotes a verse wrong or he doesn't remember something. Prabhupada again said that that's a material point of view. He said we have to see how the spiritual master is preaching. From that point of view, not that the spiritual master is a magician. And the spiritual master is a magician, and we have to see how, materially speaking, he's perfect. I can give another example. One of my godbrothers came to 22nd Avenue very early days, and he saw the Swami is sitting on the dais, and he's leading kirtan, and he looks very, you know, here's the Swami, he looks very spiritual. And then Prabhupada finished the kirtan, and he put down the kartals and picked up his glasses and opened the book. And folks, he thought, what's this? He's a Swami and he needs glasses? I mean, what is that? Why should a Swami, if he's a Swami, why should he need glasses? Because we have some preconception about what perfect means. So Prabhupada's explain that perfect doesn't mean that you're God, but it means that you're the servant of God and that you're spreading the message of God. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj couldn't even sign his name. So now do we have to say, well, he's not, how could he be perfect? We have to see how the spiritual master is engaged in Krishna's service. Clear?
Then what is the meaning of the four imperfections?
That with my four imperfections, how will I understand God by the mental speculative process? I'm seeing the sun to be a small ball. I can't see past a sheet of paper. I can't even see it with my eyelid, which is the closest thing to my eye. And how am I, and then yet I say, I have to see God. What will you see by your mundane vision? And by your imperfect mind, what will you understand? I think this, I think that. What's the value of your speculation? So the perfection of the spiritual master is that he's presenting the message received from the perfect source. Mm-hmm.
Prior to A.C. Bhaktivedanta becoming A.C. Bhaktivedanta, he was already gone. Had at least four failed businesses that we know of. Perhaps a lot of mistakes were made during that period of time. So, did Adi Charan evolve through the Bhakti Yoga process to become the pure devotee and the guru, or are all of these attributes to his entire life transcendental manifest heaven?
Well, that's an interesting question. Are these all transcendental manifest pastimes, or how do we understand them? One answer is that we don't understand them. Try to go into the previous life of the devotee and try and judge is not advised. It's not advised. He was this, he was that. Not counted. From one point of view, we can take it as pastime. If Krishna is so desired. Certainly Prabhupada, in the case of someone like Srila Prabhupada, there are significant indicators. From the very beginning, he was born in a devotee family, or he appeared really in a devotee family. From the very beginning, he was playing with Radha and Krishna. He was flying kites with his sister and praying to Krishna that the kite would go up. So one newspaper reporter was asking Prabhupada when he attained this realization, and the Prabhupada was appearing not to understand the question. I think the fellow was quickly, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but my question is. And finally, Prabhupada said, you can say that from 5 years of age. Then he said, actually, there was never a time when I was not thinking of this. But let's take another case where someone's, born in a family of meat eaters, or born into some other kind of family, and his history is all sorts of, you don't want to talk about it. So it may be that by practice he's come to the spiritual platform. So we don't care. Just like you're a millionaire. So we don't care whether you were born rich or you made $1 million. Here you are with $1 million in your bank account, you're a millionaire. Or Prabhupada gives the example of the gold box and the gold plated box. So we have to see on what platform the spiritual master is acting, and not try to see from the material point of vision, but he used to eat meat, but he had a girlfriend, but his business failed, but that doesn't matter. Now he's engaged in Krishna's service.
I asked this question because I have always taken a face value of not even believing he was joking a little bit when he said, if I tell you who I am, you'll thank me.
I don't...
Well, if I told you who I was...
I don't know the quote, but anyway. Who are we to understand?
I can follow up question on that. What does it mean then to have spiritualized senses?
Spiritual senses means always engaged in the service of Krishna senses. When your senses are engaged in Krishna service, then they're spiritualized. Just like this microphone, now it's engaged in the service of Krishna, so it's spiritualized. And if you take it someplace like across the river to Navadvip and start singing, you know, then it's material again. Everything, Brahmarpanam, Brahmavir, Brahmagno, Brahmanam, everything dedicated to Krishna becomes spiritual. It regains its spiritual quality. Is that okay? Yes?
Maharaj, in this text, Arjuna said to him, Gudakesh.
Gudakesh, yes.
One was called Gatli.
Yes.
Is it possible?
Give it a try. Yes. It doesn't mean that we'll never sleep. But sleep should be minimized. The materialist, he looks forward to Sunday when he can sleep till noon. So the devotee takes pleasure in minimizing sleep. Nidraha vihara gadi vidito. And even when he sleeps, during the day he's thinking of Krishna, then while he's sleeping also he dreams about Krishna. Yeah.
Maharaj, about this, since you were saying you use materia in the spiritual activity. So what does that actually mean? Does it mean that this like mind will become Satchitananda, or it means that he will get the...
It's already Satchitananda. But because it's Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is ultimately one. It's one energy. But this energy has now been diverted for the material purpose. And then you can again divert it for the spiritual purpose. It's Krishna, actually. There's nothing here but Krishna. But this energy, which is not different from Krishna, has been separated. And you can again join it. Redirect it toward Krishna. So it doesn't mean it will get up and sing and dance. But it means that now it has spiritual utility. It's engaged in Krishna's service.
So not only material, like the senses and everything, can become spiritual, and even when a devotee made so many mistakes when they were younger that once they practice properly, then it's to be ignored. But what happens when you see the same, say somebody that you used to take intoxication with or different things like that, when you see them again after attaining to some certain level of Krishna consciousness, how does, because the memory is still there, how does that shame not arise? How do you...
You have to change your consciousness and not see in terms of, oh, he used to be... This used to be that.
No, you personally, when one of your previous associates, you're united.
You see one of your previous associates, and then?
How do you not experience that shameful feeling, or how do you...
About your past behavior?
Well, especially because it was the person that, yeah.
Well, that's probably good. If by seeing him you remember I used to do this and I was so stupid, that's good. Prabhupada mentions that someplace in Srimad Bhagavatam that we should remember sometimes what we were so that we can appreciate what we are. Now I was a dog in the street and I was doing this and doing that, and by the mercy of my spiritual master I've come to this platform. And I have to be careful that I don't go back down to what I was.
Good. And how do you deal with such a thing? How do you deal with that other thing?
That person you appreciate, that he's the devotee.
The person that you used to do whatever...
You appreciate that whatever he used to be, now see what he is. In one sense, it's even greater. You know, if somebody's like a king, well, that's expected that someone may be a king. But if a poor man becomes a king, that's like exception. You know, if God, the rich man's son, goes to Harvard and gets a law degree, okay. Every rich man's son goes to Harvard and gets a law degree. But when some village guy from, you know, out of nowhere goes to Harvard and gets a law degree, then it's, wow, more glorious. Right? So if this person used to do, just like our ISKCON devotees, they were this, they were that, they were this, Jagai Madhai. So Jagai Madhai, it's even greater. If they've just been kind of like goof-offs, then they became devotees, well, that's nice. But they were Jagai and Madhai, and they became devotees. So then it's more glorious. And it's said about Jagai and Madhai that after they were delivered, no one, you know, took account of their previous activities. I think there's some place, there's maybe a birthplace or some place connected with Jagai and Madhai, and there's like little murtis of them. And they're just, you know, beautiful Vaishnavas. And we know they were Jagai and Madhai, but not that. Prabhupada gave, you know, you know what your logic is? It's what Prabhupada called naked mother logic. And your mother was naked when she was a little girl, so now she must always be naked. It's not that because a person was sinful, now he always has to be sinful. You see with different visions, he can just become something else.
That's the ground, the ambiguous entity, like that person. I mean, that now that, like Chuck in the example of Jagai Mother, they've now been sanctified and they've apologized for all their sins. But I can't imagine someone who isn't perfect, whose family member was greatly disturbed by them, or whose family member was murdered by them or hurt by them, when that person whose family is hurt by them, when they see them and they bear some ill will towards that person.
That's their problem. But if they become spiritually advanced, then they have to see differently. Apichet sudaracharo bhajateyam anirvakti. And even if they were the most sinful person, the sinful reactions are burned to ashes.
So I guess if somebody has that problem, they're still criticizing, you just have to tolerate their criticisms and use their creed.
Yeah, the person who's the object of the criticism has to tolerate. And the person who's criticizing has a problem. Because he's seeing from the material point of view. That's their objective instruction. We shouldn't see that way. Now, we've advanced quite far in our study of this chapter today. And in fact, it's time for our break. So shall we break? Okay, you get till just before 4:15. You have an announcement or something of that nature? What's going on here? Okay, well, we haven't reached the break yet. Okay, break, and we'll see you before 4:15, and you can select your slogan.